Well, good morning, everybody. What a great morning. What a great morning when the Lord just comes and touches hearts just in worship, and I hope he's going to continue, I'm sure he will do, touch our hearts with what I've got to share and with the ministry afterwards. Just waiting for my notes to turn up. Here they are. Okay, so we're continuing our series on hope. I've been doing 3 talks on the hope of the gospel, and this is my 3rd talk. We're looking at restoration, the hope of the gospel. But, you know, we all need encouragement. And just this week, I received an email from somebody in the congregation just saying, you know, life's been hard. They love God. But, you know, when circumstances at home and at work, it's stressful, it's very easy to lose perspective and focus. And just wanted to say thank you for this series on hope, because it's really encouraged us as a family, and I hope that would be the case for others too, because this message of hope is what the church can bring to a world which needs hope. So we're going to continue today with looking at restoration, the hope of the gospel. So we've looked at 2 aspects already. We've looked at redemption, the hope of redemption, God's plan to redeem the whole world. All of humanity, all who come to him through his blood can be made clean, they can be saved, they can be reconciled to God. No sin too great, Jesus has died for all. That's amazing news, isn't it? And that's the hope of redemption. We looked at the hope of renewal, how he gives us new life. The Holy Spirit comes. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and he brings change. Which is why I love to hear testimonies, because it shows that God's on the move. We're born again and we're sanctified. He comes to give us a new heart, take away the old, and bring us into the new. The new has come. And we were looking at that and rejoicing, really, in the hope of renewal. But just as exciting today, the hope of restoration. You see, the gospel is about restoration. It's about restoring what has been lost. It's about being restored to God's original plan and purpose for humanity and for our lives. And this all comes through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The hope of restoration is good news indeed. We live in a world where the enemy has wreaked havoc. I mean, Jesus said he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's an expert at doing that. You just look at society, many lives broken, wounded, abused, fearful, lonely. And it's not just people on the streets, which you might think they're in a bad way. It can be people in their nice plush mansions and houses down the Warren and in Caversham and in Upper Basildon and other places. You know, it can be anywhere. There can be a hole in their hearts. And they're broken as well, and they need the message of the gospel. Others have lost everything. They've lost spouses, they've lost children, they've lost homes, they've lost livelihoods. And some of us have the privilege of meeting some of these people out on the streets, and they look like at one time in life they had it all together. But through circumstances sometimes beyond their control, sometimes through foolish decisions which they've made, they've lost everything, and they've lost hope. Others are depressed and disillusioned, afraid to hope, unable to dream, unable to trust others because hopes have been dashed in their hearts. You know, Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the lostness of humanity. Matthew 9, verse 36, it says he saw the multitudes, he saw the crowds. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. And church, we need to be moved with compassion too. Compassion needs to touch our hearts, and we need to share this gospel because it's good news to the poor. And again, we just think people that haven't got any homes or whatever, but it's good news to the poor, spiritually poor, emotionally poor, as well as physically poor. And this gospel is something, it's a gem, it's a treasure, which God's given the church to share with those which need to hear. Hallelujah. So the enemy's aim may be to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come to bring life. Abundant life. Overflowing life. All his plans are good for us. John tells us he came to undo the works of the devil. That's restoration. So all the stuff that the devil's brought into our lives, as we come to Jesus, the hope of the gospel is he's come to undo that rubbish. He's come to fill us with his life. He's come to give us righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isn't this good news? The good news of the gospel, God's still got a plan for your life. A plan to give you hope. A plan to give you a future. A plan to restore what has been lost. Amen. Look at this verse here. Well known to some of you, I'm sure. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God says, I know the plans. He wants to make them known to us too. But he says, I know the plans I have for you, and they're good plans. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. That's a rhema for some people here today. This is God's heart being expressed here to natural Israel. Jeremiah, he was in Jerusalem, and he sent this letter to those who were in exile, those who were in captivity, those who were far from God's original plans and purposes for their lives. They literally had lost everything. They were captive in somebody else's land. It was a letter of hope, declaring even in their captivity, God still has plans for them. Plans to prosper them, plans to give them a hope and a future. And I think today some of us may feel in a similar situation. It's like we're in exile. It can feel like a desert. Maybe nothing's worked out for us. Maybe our hopes and dreams have not yet been fulfilled. Maybe through silly decisions we've thrown everything that we've cared for away. I've got good news. The gospel is about restoration. The gospel is about a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a hundredth chance. God wants to restore you and your life and make you whole again. Isn't this good news? Guys, we can't keep this to ourselves. This is what the world needs to hear. You see, the words of hope came while Israel was still in their desert, if you like. They were still in captivity. But it's when we're in the desert, when we're going through those hard places, those dry places, we need to hear that whisper in our ear, I still have a plan for you, my child. God's not forgotten. God's not left you just to dry and be parched up in a desert. He still has a plan for you. And then we need to believe and trust in the goodness and faithfulness of God, because actually faith is strengthened in the desert. That's where faith is made strong. Now, like most of you probably, I don't like deserts. I like mountaintops. I like it when the presence of God is so powerful. Emotions are released. There's passion, there's joy, there's laughter. We want to dance. There's laughter in the house of the Lord because in his presence there's fullness of joy. I love those times. You can't force them or make them happen, but I love it when God just comes in that way and releases something of joy in our hearts. I also love it when his presence is so strong, you just want to bring you to your knees and you just want to worship. And there's no words which you can say. In fact, I just sense a little bit of that today for me in the worship. With tears streaming down my face, it was, Lord, I'm broken. I'm just amazed. I just love you so much. And I love those times too. Mountaintop experiences. Beautiful. Just want to stay there. Don't want to go anywhere else. Just want to enjoy God. And those times are important. But at the end of the day, I know that it's the desert experiences which bring growth to my life. It's the desert experiences which change my character, which strengthen my life and our lives for battle and for conquest, which, by the way, is part of God's original plan for us. We'll get to that later on. You see, the desert is not our final destiny, but God will use those desert experiences to aid our growth and development if we let him. After Jesus' mountaintop experience, read about it in the Gospels. He went to be baptized. Heavens were opened. Holy Spirit came down. They saw the dove descending. They heard the voice of God. This is my boy. I'm so thrilled with Jesus. And Jesus had that mountaintop experience, if you like. Do you know the very next thing? The Holy Spirit, who had just come upon him and filled him, led him into the desert, led him into wilderness. Right before the beginning of his ministry, 40 days of hunger, of hardship, of temptation. And you think, oh, that's terrible. Just this amazing experience now, immediately followed by wilderness, by desert. But you know, it says that Jesus went into that experience full of the Holy Spirit, but he came out in the power of the Spirit of God. He overcame the enemy on his own ground. And Jesus came out in the power of the Spirit of God. And he then, the kingdom was released. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He preached with authority. He did the miracles which he did. But something or another, there was that desert experience which even Jesus worked through. And out of that, he came in the power of God. So, don't despise the desert. It can be a place which God uses to train us for greater things. Let's come back to the hope of restoration. You see, let's go right back to the very beginning. When sin entered the world, God's original plan for humanity was lost. Sin changed everything. It brought death, it brought separation, it brought destruction, it brought hatred, broken relationships, murder, racial conflict, gender conflict. Sin has wrecked what was good and what was beautiful. And sin also broke and spoilt God's purpose for mankind. So look, this was God's original plan for mankind, and I believe he wants to restore this to us as part of the message of the gospel. So this is from Genesis, Genesis 1. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is known as the creation mandate. And I want to suggest to you, or say to you, tell you, it's our mandate too. This mandate has never been repealed. And there's three aspects for us to get hold of. God's plan and purpose, his original plan and purpose, was that we're fruitful. Be fruitful. Increase and multiply. Subdue and rule. That's God's plan for each and every one of us. Now, that probably needs some unpacking, so that's what we're going to do in the next few minutes or so. So, first of all, be fruitful. Are you with me? God loves fruitfulness. You need to understand that. God loves fruitfulness. In fact, I've put up there, barrenness is a curse, fruitfulness is a blessing. God wants us to be fruitful. Thank you, John. Time and time again in the Old Testament, when God blesses the patriarchs and the men of God, the blessing starts off with, be fruitful. Be fruitful. And then we come into the New Testament, and Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus is wanting to restore to us God's original plan that we are fruitful. We need to get hold of it in our heads, and it needs to get into our hearts. God expects us to be fruitful. Do you remember that fig tree? Jesus went up to this fig tree. It wasn't even the season for figs. And he went up to it looking for figs, and all he saw was leaves. And he cursed the fig tree because there was no fruit there. I think God looks at the church And he's not looking for just activity. He's not just looking for busyness. He's not looking for all the things that make church look good. He's looking for fruit. He's expecting to find fruit in the people of God. He wants to restore that to us. We need to understand, being fruitful is part of God's restoration plan. And the church has got so used to being unfruitful that to suggest this seems to offend people. And I have no idea why. It's like being fruitful is a curse. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. God wants our lives to be fruitful. That's why he's come. You know, some people have actually left LifeSpring because they were expected to be fruitful. All the pressure. Oh, I can't cope. Jesus expects you to be fruitful. Yes, that's God's plan for us. In John 15, at my cell, we're memorizing the first few verses of John 15. Just a little bit of practice there of memorizing scripture. But in John 15, it tells us how, if you abide in me, you will be fruitful. If you abide in me, if your lives are connected to mine, it can't be helped because fruitfulness is in the genes of God. We will be fruitful. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Fruitfulness is a blessing, not a curse. Fruitfulness, according to Jesus, shows that we really are his disciples. Did you know that? One of the tests for discipleship, love one another and bearing fruit. So we have to ask ourselves, are we bearing fruit? If not, how do you know you're a disciple of Jesus? Jesus expects it from his disciples. And actually, he goes on to say, the more fruit we produce, the more glory goes to the Father. Hallelujah. So God wants to restore fruitfulness to each of our lives. And just as I'm sharing, this WhatsApp thing keeps pinging. Can someone stop WhatsApping? Listen to me, not the WhatsApp stuff. Where was I? God wants to restore fruitfulness. I can't remember what I was saying. What is fruitfulness? You see, many spiritual sons and daughters. It's God's ultimate aim to have a big family that fills the earth. That's what... Rebellion in the camp. That's what he died for. To have a big family that fills the earth. Souls saved, lives changed. Part of God's plan for you. Church, just say amen. Amen. Say amen. You might not get it in your heart yet, but just begin to try to understand this is what God wants to restore to my life. Number two, increase and multiply, fill the earth. Sounds very similar, but do you catch God's heart? This is God's heart. A man and a woman, they were placed in a beautiful garden. They enjoyed each other's company. God's beautiful creation, and of course, his presence was in that little garden too. This was paradise. This was the Garden of Eden, and God blessed them. But see, God was expecting more. It was like, take this life, take this blessing of marriage, produce children, increase and multiply, fill the earth. Oh, but I like this little garden. I like these nice little plants and little animals that I've all named. Oh, I just enjoy your presence, and we go for walks every evening, Father. It's just so good to stay here. But that wasn't God's original plan. He wanted to bless them that they might be a blessing and fill the earth. Increase, multiply, fill the earth. Multiplication and increase are in God's genes. He's not satisfied with a little garden. He wants to fill the whole earth. Amen. Wow, this is big vision, isn't it? It's his vision. That's what he's restoring to us. He's not satisfied with small, insignificant churches. He wants to impact cities and nations. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, our vision isn't to be a big church. No, it might include that. Our vision is to see the town of Reading transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's his vision too. And he's going to use the church. He's going to use us, he's going to use our friends and all these other churches too, to see Reading transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. You see, multitudes of themselves won't change cities and nations. It's not just big churches. Statistics show even that big churches, crime is even worse than it is in other places in some areas. That doesn't change. But multitudes of disciples who are following Jesus and they're wanting to take this blessing out into their workplaces and their communities and the schools and the universities, wow, they will make a difference in the towns and cities, and they will change nations. That's part of God's plan for us. And note, it's the whole earth. It's the whole earth. It includes Saudi Arabia, it includes Syria, it includes all those places where ISIS have declared their caliphate. One day it's going to be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. It's the whole earth. Church, we can't just settle for Reading. This is a big enough goal, target in itself, 250,000 people in this town, but it's beyond Reading. We've got to believe for the UK. We've got to believe for Europe, dark places of the gospel at this moment in time. But God's dream expressed in Genesis and we see fulfilled in Revelation is of multitudes of saints. Too many to number. Too many to number. And then we have this wonderful verse, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and the Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. And the gospel is good news because it gets us on track to see that completed time when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God. Amen. God's dream of increase and multitudes, a very big family and transformation. His rule, his kingdom, transforming every nation of the world. Impossible? It can feel like it. You see all those people marching around their square box in Mecca, Medina, wherever it is. Yeah, millions and millions going over there. Islam on the increase, secularism, humanism on the increase. Guys, let's see from God's perspective. And God, John saw that picture of the whole earth filled with the glory of God, the kingdom of God established in every nation. We need to believe because Jesus says all things are possible. This is our calling, increase and multiplication, filling the earth with his glory. You see, the church isn't going out with a whimper. The church is going up in a blaze of glory. I have every confidence in the Church of Jesus Christ, the only organization which is going to live forever and ever and ever and go on forever. People were talking about the demise of the church. No way, no way. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, which is going to touch every nation of this world. Hallelujah. Few minutes left, but let's look at the third one, dominion and rule. I hope you're feeling connected. You're feeling tired?
Inspired.
Oh, yes. I thought you said tired. I hope you're feeling connected because this is the plan God wants for you. You know, it's not just for them out there. This is for you. This is for us. This is for me. So, number three, dominion and rule. And in our society, it can be tricky to understand this. We're born in a democracy, and it's not always hard to understand this concept, but the kingdom of God is not a democracy. The kingdom of God is a theocracy. God rules. So when people say to me, well, I don't like this part of the Bible, I don't like this view on this, I don't like that, I'm sorry, it's there, it's God rules. And I might like to change it too, but I have no authority to change what God has already stated. We stand on the word of God. We believe the word of God. And we say, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. I want to live under your rule. I want your view of marriage. And I want to live according to your view of marriage or whatever the situation might be. Amen? So it's a kingdom that God rules. And it's his rule, not mine. It's his rule, his kingdom, that the church needs to usher in into this world. Amen? So this is what Jesus said. He said, when he came, the time has come. This is from Mark chapter 1. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. It was like a declaration of war. For centuries, it was like Satan had free reign. He was the prince of the world. Still is the prince of this world. But now a greater prince, the king, was coming. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom now is going. There's going to be a clash of kingdoms because darkness is going to be overtaken by light. Jesus came to undo all the works of Satan. He came to usher in the kingdom of light, replacing the kingdom of darkness. every healing, every deliverance, every miracle, every person raised from the dead, every mindset that got changed, demonstration of the kingdom of God. Jesus' power over creation, Jesus' power over Satan and his inferior kingdom. I love what Luke describes of Jesus, how God anointed him, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good. What a simple, he went around doing good. And when he did good, it wasn't a sandwich here and there, nothing wrong with sandwiches. When he did good, he healed all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Wow. That's what God's calling us to. That's what is being restored. We take this kingdom, we take this rule, and we begin to usher this into the world in which we live. His commission is our commission. We are called to bring his rule through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and to do good everywhere we go. Jim and a few others of us joined a guy with a cross yesterday, went into town. I tell you, some of the stories he was telling, I thought, I need to have this guy back again. It was inspirational. Just to hear when worship times in the outside in the town, and to hear of words of knowledge and people responding in our country, and people finding faith, and people coming to God, and prophetic words being spoken to people, and people thinking, well, how on earth did you know that? And just the different gifts working together, it was quite inspiring. And that's what God wants us for us, that we take this glorious message out to our friends and onto the streets, that they might hear and they might know too. I need to move on. Through our faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, a spirit of conquest is restored to our lives. Because Jesus was a conqueror. Light overcomes darkness. He in us is greater than he that's in the world. Jesus' commission to conquer, to set free, to heal, to restore, not in our own strength, but it becomes ours because of him who lives in us. We go with his rule. We go with his kingdom. And we set the oppressed free. We battle against poverty. We battle against sickness. We battle against depression. We battle against broken families and marriages. We battle against the effects of abuse. We declare healing and hope in the name of Jesus. And guys, please don't just see these as good positive words. No, that's what encounters are for. That's what sozos are for. That's what prayer up here is for, to release more of the kingdom of God. Lives can be changed. Lives can be restored. Hope can be restored. You may be depressed, but God wants to give you joy again. But you need to receive it from him. Through him who lives in us, we become overcomers. Last point here, John, in Revelation, he refers to the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. You know, the blood of Jesus is powerful. We have to apply the blood of Jesus for protection over ourselves, over our families. It's powerful, the blood of Jesus. When the Israelites, when the angel of death came over Egypt and the Israelites were going to be saved, they had to apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintels in their homes. And once that blood was applied, that angel of destruction was unable to bring any death or calamity into their home. Church, the blood of Jesus is powerful. We need to apply that in our lives. But secondly, it's words of testimony. We testify of his goodness. We testify of his faithfulness. I want to ask you, try not to look at what God isn't doing. Look at what he is doing. And focus on what God's, focus on the good things that we can tell people about. We testify of his goodness and faithfulness. We speak words of life, faith, and hope by the Spirit of God. That's a good challenge for us in our homes, to our spouses, to our children, to start with. Let's speak words of life, faith, and hope, and let's see our home change. Let's see our marriages change, because we're looking at the positive and not the negatives in our lives. All negative speech belongs to the darkness. All negative speech, it produces cynicism, it produces doubt, it comes against the purposes of God, because he's positive and God's got plans to prosper and to bless us. You see, Paul describes us as more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And you look at Paul's life, the most difficult of lives you could imagine. He suffered floggings, imprisonments, stoning, shipwrecks, probably the most hurtful, betrayal of close friends, hunger and cold. In fact, he said in one place, they've all left me. I'm just here by myself. And yet even in hardship and defeat, he talks about, but no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. That's a spirit of conquest. That's what God wants to put in our hearts. We don't stay under the circumstances. Even when there's trouble and difficulties, we rise above the circumstances, not gritting our teeth, not in our own strength, but in that assurance that he's with us and for us. He's got hopes to prosper us and to bless us in the future. Hallelujah. It's a mindset of a winner, and that's what God's called us to be too. Oh, I could go on, but I need to stop. This is the hope of the gospel. I hope you're catching it. This is the hope of the gospel, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Redeemed, purchased. No longer our own, we now live for him. Every sin washed away. Every barrier broken down. I can enjoy the garden with God. I can enjoy those times of sweet fellowship because there's no shame, there's nothing which is preventing me from having that sweet relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the hope of renewal, he gives us his spirit, pours his spirit upon us, in us and upon us, that we become new, that old has gone. And through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, it's getting less and less in our lives, and we're becoming more and more like Jesus. There's renewal taking place. There's life being birthed in us. And lastly today, the hope of restoration. Restored to be fruitful. Restored to be part of God's purposes. Restored to be sons and daughters of God who are living for him and his purposes. Hallelujah. Guys, let's take this message out. Let people know. This is what Jesus has called us all to. Amen. Amen.